Hello and welcome to another episode of Corks Talks, where I talk about anything and everything of interest to me, whether that be political, economic, social, technological, you name it, I'll speak about it. Today's another review episode of a theatre play I went to watch, Medea. I watched it like this time last month, so I'm literally like almost a month late, but it is playing at Soho Place and features the one and only Sophie Okonedo, who I've seen in quite a few shows just growing up, but naturally never seen her on stage. But always fun to like go from TV to right in front of you. I think that's the beauty of living in London. You can see your favorite TV star for like 30 quid, which is amazing. I remember I got there just on time. I had no prior history to what the show entailed, and I have a mixed emotion towards that approach I have of like, oh, going in blind, like don't know what to expect. Sometimes you, I don't want to say you waste your money, but sometimes because you don't know what to expect, you have no sense of chronology when you're watching the story, which is both helpful and hindering. I do know that people do attend these theatre shows more than once from what I've learned. I have a budget, so that ain't me, but I'm gonna see how it goes. Sometimes I know the story, sometimes I don't. But Medea is a story that I don't know if it's actually like related to obviously Tyler Perry's Medea and it being like a twist on her name. I feel like it is, but I don't know. I'm just pulling at straws right now. But Medea is described as a Greek tragedy. Soho Place is a new venue for theatre productions, by the way. So it is a very unique stage, which is in the middle and on the ground, and then it's got like raised seats all around. So I tend to sit on one of the raised seats all around because those seats on the ground be costing an arm and a leg and a neck, and I ain't got the money. But I always tend to get a good seat, which I'm really lucky. I did watch, I forgot what it's called. This is really bad. I need to really improve my memory. It featured Alfred Enoch and Leah Harvey. A Shakespeare play. I'll Google it quickly. I'm so frustrated. I hate when I forget these things. Leah Harvey. As You Like It. I remembered it before I clicked it. Yes, As You Like It. Well-known Shakespeare play. So they tend to play the very traditional productions that we all know and love. But yeah, Medea is described as a Greek tragedy. It focuses on a woman who is vengeful that her husband has essentially left her and moves on. And we hear the history of all the things that she's done for him. And it's naturally quite scary. Very wholly comparable to modern day. Like, it seemed like a modern day story. Sometimes it's quite scary how close we are to these, like, histories. People think we're so original and we're the first to ever experience these things. But anyone who's ever read just knows that, like, as James Baldwin said, like, you think you're the only person in the world and you read, you know. But it was a square stage, like a circle insert, and it started out with like blazers at each corner of the square. So there was this man walking very slowly along the perimeter, and then he would start walking faster, pace up, and he becomes your, I guess, universal character. He takes on every male role in the story, which I found really interesting. So the story is of course about Medea. Like, she is the center of the tragedy, played by Sophie Okonedo. And then we get this one guy who plays, you know, her husband, her ex-husband, a tutor, and then like another character, a servant. Yeah, so he plays a tutor, a servant, Jason, and Corinth. And just by changing the blazer, he becomes a whole different person. And it very much follows the whole Bible verse of, you know, who hath mercy like a woman scorned. I can't remember the exact quote, but Medea is scorned, right? Her husband has left her for a younger woman, and she's got two kids, and she did so much, she sacrificed so much for him, and she's hell-bent on revenge. I liked the way they produced it, because actually there were some characters who were part of the audience. Sounds crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine if I was actually sitting next to them, how I would feel. But there were three different female characters from different areas in the audience who were actually characters in the show. So when you got your monologues from Medea, you would get them calling out to her as like feedback from the community, which I found quite interesting, you know, especially with that new film Women Talking coming up. It's nice to see women's voices being upheld, even if they come from like quote unquote the audience. I thought that was a really original concept, really smart. This idea that we are among storytellers and people that are part of the story, also that these women are part of the community. But Medea faces like very contemporary struggles of discrimination. She's from the Caucasus region, but she's, I believe, of Asiatic heritage, so perhaps around the area that is like modern day Russia, where, you know, when you go back down to like Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, etc., she's perhaps from around those areas. It's the idea that she's Caucasian, but she's not your traditional Western European. And Medea is obviously about a Greek tragedy, so she comes to this place that is presented as more civilized, and she did everything to become acceptable to her husband, only to then be discarded and him to marry a younger woman from a better family. And it's a question of, I guess, women's morality. You know, when you're online or in certain spaces, there is this feebleness that is attributed to most women because of the oppressive dynamics that they experience from the establishments and institutions such as government, whether that's stripping away fertility rights like abortion or contraception, access to contraception, or you've got like maternity leave, working hours, working conditions, obviously no right to vote at one point. Some people are still in places where they can't even obtain property in their own name, or travel alone, of course, places like Saudi Arabia where you had to drive with somebody. And then just adding to that, just the increasing rate of femicide and violence that women are facing domestically, publicly, you name it, right? So in many circles, there is this push for protections for women, as is expected with any oppressed demographic. This film, of course, well, it's not a film, this story, of course, I wouldn't say usurps this idea of women not being in power, but it's definitely a case of women weaponizing the power they do have against ex-partners. Because in all stories, in all situations, there are exemptions. And in this story, she has two kids from her husband that she is using as a weapon to obtain access to him. And again, like, it's no different to the shared custody stories and complaints you hear today. But it was quite interesting to see like how femicide and infanticide is portrayed on a stage, as opposed to like a bunch of anecdotes on a Reddit post, you know what I mean, or a movie. It is a case of vengeance versus justice. And again, that focus on discrimination is very key, because you would hear Medea repeat things like Jason's new wife having like yellow hair. So she's obsessed with these, I guess, like fairer features that she has not got herself. And it goes back to those age gap relationships that people talk about, men moving and dating younger, prettier women. So it's a desirability complex that she has. And pathetic fallacy is a really good tool in this stage production. You've got like the role of fire, rain, and light. You just wonder how the hell they did all of these production costs, because it looks incredible. There was an under stage compartment, so there was like a bunker that actually starts out at the beginning as Medea's like stage before she comes to the actual visible stage for the audience to see. So it's this idea of like hidden stories being unseen by the public. And
that idea of concealing
follows the story, because we've got like women being presented as these evil witches. They're useful when they're doing something beneficial for the man or for the community, but when it's no longer benefiting, when the man is no longer benefited by her actions, like he's done his bidding with her, he discards her, and then she becomes somebody different, and completely overwhelmed by her rage of at being rejected. And you see constant appeals to higher powers, the gods for mercy, the Greek gods, Apollo, Aphrodite, you know, especially with Jason admitting that he left her for a younger woman and basically blaming the gods, saying that it's their fault, it's not mine. So that lack of accountability. He is, of course, marrying the daughter of, I think, the king of Corinth, which is this famed Greek place that would allow him to acquire power and status. And bear in mind, Medea did a lot for him to get his position where he was before he met the daughter of Corinth. So he was, so I think she said she killed her own brother. Like, she did a lot of things for him, like things that you hear modern women talk about, maybe not to the same extent, but like left her community, gave her all his money, did everything she he needed, and still he flipped on her, which is like a lesson in, like, you know, tragedy and story. Like, don't give something if you're not willing to never have it back, you know. The play is well known as a Greek tragedy written by Euripides, so this stylization is not uncommon, but is a lesson in like a woman's ability to be who she is in the absence of a man. And just plain old discrimination as to how we see certain types of women as superior to others. And certain locations and ethnicities are superior to others. The role of Athens is presented as this safe haven that you go to seek refuge. And she's obviously in need of some kind of godly intervention. But when Jason abandons her to wed the king's daughter, Medea says, okay, I'm gonna kill my own sons, like to move on. And you look at it like, that is so crazy, that is so illogical. But this is a story that was written God knows how long. Like, it's crazy that this is what's being theorized as early as that, you know. Medea in Greek means like planner, schemer. So it's from the onset she's seen as this wicked entity who will do anything to get what she requires. And there is this focus on wealth and jewelry and golden themes. Personally, I really, really enjoyed Sophie Okonedo's performance. I thought she was brilliant. I thought the man that played the four bloody characters, I don't know how he did it, phenomenal. They just blew me out of the water, like seeing them on stage before me create this, not a short story at all, like a very long story of vengeance and divinity and mercy. It's really worth reading for everybody. I think it's a lesson in female insanity. Like, I've read, you know, Sylvia Plath, you know, you read all the Bronte sisters, whatever. You hear about women talking about how, like, mad men make them, how the world makes them, how mainly mad men make them. And you just discount it as some unknown, unexplainable thing. And then you watch stories like this, and again, never justifies it, always explains it. Like, this is how it started. This is how it started. Like, this is how it begins. Like, it's a woman having domestic bliss and then a guy coming to sabotage it through his own misdemeanors, and her internalizing it, and then often either killing herself or killing her own kids, you know. So it's used as symbolism, you know. Medea is this character that is vengeful, and it's an example of women being wicked, and you avoid. The dialogue was beautiful, sumptuous, like, really loved hearing that. Even though you've got, like, really scary themes of, like, poisoning a princess and then killing the kids, we don't really see that in the production. It's very much, like, it happens in the bunker, so Medea disappears with the boys and comes out in blood. And then when she kills the princess, it's well known that she's killed the princess, but she did it in a very subtle way. She gave her a present, and the present essentially killed her. There's obviously these focuses on masculinity versus femininity, you know, ownership. It's a complicated character that you would refer to again and again when you're thinking of stories of complicated women, or let's just say unsightly women, because I don't think these women are that complicated. I think they're pretty simple. I just think that these are the women that the world doesn't want to acknowledge or help. So yeah, I think I feel like I could go on about this production, but I just want to keep it brief. I think it's worth reading the story. I think it's worth watching the production. If I have anything more to add, I'll definitely do a part two. Medea is probably in theaters for a long while, so please do catch it if you can. I would highly recommend it. It's a great story, really well told. Sofia Cornido is phenomenally, and it's made me interested in Greek mythology, Greek tragedy, Greek story. I know that they're seen like the apex of storytelling, you know. You've got the probably the English, the French, and then the Greeks. Like, people see these three as like the leads in the European story. Obviously the Romans, of course, at one point, but that's like that overlap between Anglo and Franco. So yeah, definitely worth reading, highly recommend. And we'll come back with a new episode of a review in due time. So do take care, and see you soon. Bye.